This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
This is Deborah McCullough with the Cops Office. With us today is Bob Bryant, Chief of Police at the Penobscot Nation Police Department. Chief Bryant is here to talk with us today about how the Penobscot Nation Police Department is advancing community policing. Chief, the Penobscot Nation Police is often recognized as a leader in community policing. Can you tell us how you, as Chief, have advanced community policing efforts in the Penobscot Nation?
Well, I think it began here back in around the time of December of 2006. I assumed command of the Penobscot Nation Police Department after the current chief was let go. We had had a rash of burglaries and other property crimes throughout the community, and there was a rise in juvenile-related crimes. And generally, the public had a lack of faith and trust with the police department from, you know, their perspective, and there was also some morale problems within the agency. One of the first steps, you know, that I looked at was we had to change the mindset of the agency staff itself. And that was to change it from an isolated approach to one that we were able to incorporate a component in a circle that helped identify and resolve issues within the community. I explained that this was not going to be happening overnight, you know, but I did ask that they take a bold step, you know, in a different style of policing, you know, one that they weren't accustomed to. You know, I explained that through training and other changes with the organization and the incorporation of a community-oriented mindset, if we incorporate that into our operations and policies, you know, one is we could reduce crime and we could also restore the public's confidence in us. And we would see that by working collectively with the other tribal departments and the citizens, that our job would be much easier. And I explained that we needed to do this together. And you know, the training was one that we looked at and was done by reaching out to the cops office. We had a 3-day training session here in the community. Included in the training was a social night that involved a sit-down meal with the community, elected officials and other tribal departments and personnel, and the law enforcement staff. We had traditional drumming, you know, we had dancing, and we began the foundation of positive communication. The training helped identify a lot of real issues, and, you know, ones that were perceptual problems also, though, you know, there were still issues that needed to be addressed. And I looked at the training as a springboard, which was something that we needed for that collaborative approach, and it's still growing today.
Could you give us an example of a specific public safety problem that your agency faced and tackled through community policing?
I think one of the problems that we first identified was the increase in crime specifically related to juveniles. And one of the first changes we looked at and took was to begin to include the youth at the table at some of the decision-making processes and discussions, you know, because it directly affected them. You know, the collaboration included youth workers, the cultural department, elected officials, you know, law enforcement, educators, healthcare providers, and other service providers. And we knew by creating a dialogue with the youth, they would begin to know that they were stakeholders in the community, you know, and that was important. And so the respect and responsibility for their actions would be restored. You know, some of this was done by creating a new teen center and having them at the table discuss what they would like to see for activities there and to find out, you know, what they saw as the real problems that needed to be addressed. And from this, we did a reduction in the core age group of issues such as underage drinking, vandalism, and other inappropriate type of behavior. So, you know, looking at that and bringing them to the table and having them part of that process and part of a solution to that did help reduce some of those criminal activities.
So if we're talking about partnerships, what types of partnerships with tribal government, businesses, or community groups has the police department advanced as a result of the work that you've been doing?
Well, early on, we started to forge relationships with other tribal departments, such as social services, the health department, educators. You know, the housing department was another crucial agency that we found that we needed to really collaborate with. And we looked at, you know, how could we come together in addressing the issues within the tribal nation here at Penobscot. So we created coalitions such as the Tribal Youth Advisory Group, which was a group looking at, you know, overall the whole juvenile justice process and also how we could look at finding alternative type of activities and alternative type of sentencing when we did bring a juvenile into the justice system rather than the old traditional punishment that went along with traditional courts. You know, we formed Drug Abuse Task Force, and we also included the staff here in the Health Department's Health Prevention Committee. You know, they looked at many proactive and prevention measures to address issues and how we could create policies that supported each department in a collaborative approach.
Were there any organizational changes, such as hiring and recruitment, strategic planning, increased transparency, that you initiated to advance community policing?
Yeah, early on, you know, there was a review done at the organizational approach, which included the SOP, you know, the standard operating procedure here at the department. You know, I understood that we really needed to incorporate that methodology within the SOP, but I knew it was going to take some time. So, you know, a timeline was laid out to revamp the SOP with an emphasis on incorporation of the community-oriented approach. You know, one piece of revamping of the policies was to solicit feedback from other service providers and elected officials and some community members also, you know, on how the policies assisted them and what they expected from their police department. You know, this was done not only for the inclusion purposes, but also to place transparency, because that was an important element to our approach in our working relationship with other departments and the citizens as a whole. Then began to work with the tribal administration on short, medium, and long-range strategic planning. And we incorporated what was called a logic model format, you know, with emphasis on what the nation's goals and objectives were. You know, we formed a plan and a mission that, you know, invoked that philosophy and direction. These changes were given to all tribal elected officials, you know, tribal departments, and were available to all community members that requested a copy. You know, in regards to the recruitment of new personnel, you know, I sort of put an emphasis on that early on. And since 2006, all candidates that interviewed for positions with the police department, you know, I asked a series of questions because of their understanding. I wanted to understand what they knew of community policing and how its methodology governs an agency's approach to servicing a community, how it's important to the success of solving issues within a community also, because, you know, we are all stakeholders here.
Do you have any recommendations for tribal law enforcement agencies on how they can advance community policing in their nations?
You know, the first step is to fully understand that the police are the community and the community are the police. Now, this has to be more than just a slogan, and it has to be understood and believed until all officers of an agency from the top on down understand that we cannot operate in an isolated fashion. You know, I saw this early on in my own career. You know, I worked in an agency where I lived in one town and worked in another. And I sort of had the sense that we were like an occupying force, you know, that patrolled the shift and went home without any connection or empathy for what the real issues were. And that system, you know, to me, fails. We have to believe that we're a partner with the citizens, you know, other service providers and elected officials also. If we're going to achieve the ultimate goal, that is the reduction of crime and the elimination of fear within our communities, you know, that's the method we have to approach. When this mindset and approach is adopted, the results will be evident. I think that clearly if you take this mindset that you know, a community approach rather than working in isolation, and you give it a shot, you're going to find that it'll be proven and it'll show success.
Chief, thank you so much for your time and your expertise today.
You're welcome.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.